There's actually a beautiful commentary. I think it was written by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. When he came to America, he published, he made a publication, Akriya Vagdusha, starting in 1941, and it's a fascinating publication. And every month he would publish, and part of the it, he would have an explanation on a different passage of the prayer book. Fascinating. Original. And he has a whole write-up in two parts, in 2 months, on the Baruch Sha'amar. So let's review this because it really sheds so much light and it gives, you'll never say the Baruch Shamad ever again the same way once you understand how the previous Rebbe interprets the blessing. And it's based, consistent with the Avudraham. The Avudraham says that the ten blessings, time blessings, correspond to the 10 utterances. Hashem created the world with his 10 utterances. And that's where he gets into specific details. Each utterance, a separate blessing, and a separate reason how this utterance leads us to praise Hashem and be thankful for Hashem and be grateful for Hashem for the unique blessing that this utterance brought to our lives. So that's why you have the first, the blessing is divided into two parts. The first part is the 10 times blessed is he who said this, blessed is he who decrees this, 10 times blessed is he, which each blessing corresponds specifically to one of the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. The second half of the Baruch Shama, which begins with blessed are you Hashem, also gives us 10 different details, the 10 different ways we're grateful to Hashem for the 10 things with which he created. Each thing brings it as a unique blessing. Each utterance, which creates something new, brings with it a unique blessing, a unique reason why we're grateful and thankful to Hashem. So let's dive in and let's go one by one, specific. So let's start at the beginning. The first one, Baruch Sha'amar V'Yo'ilam, blessed is he who said and the world came into existence. And as we said, this corresponds to the first utterance. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, even though it doesn't say God spoke. It just says in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. But the rabbis say this was also created by through Hashem's speech. The world is created, the word of Hashem. All the other nine, it says clearly in the verse, Hashem said there should be light, and there was light. Hashem said that we should separate, there should be a heaven, we should separate the waters below, the waters above. Hashem said that the earth should sprout. Hashem said that there should be luminaries. So there's nine times Vayomer, and once, even though it doesn't say, it just says in the beginning, Hashem created heaven and earth, but it was also created with Hashem's speech. Why indeed doesn't it say Vayomer? Couldn't the Torah just say Hashem said there should be heaven and earth? The Torah is afraid to say Vayomer. Why doesn't he say clearly Hashem said there should be heaven and earth? So he explains, no, he couldn't say it. Because the definition of Vayomer means you're speaking. When you're speaking means you're speaking to someone. Before Hashem created heaven and earth, there's no one to speak to. He can't say Hashem said. Who is he speaking to? Hashem is alone. So Hashem thought. But his thought is like he spoke. Like he spoke to himself, because it had the same effect. Hashem spoke and it came into being. So Hashem thought there should be heaven and earth, and it came in heaven and earth. Once Hashem created heaven and earth, so now you have, within heaven and earth, you have the potential for all the specifics that follow. So now it makes sense. Now you can say Hashem spoke. There's something to speak to. There's something to speak of. There's already a heaven and earth. There's already in its potential form, you have heaven and earth. In its entirety, now Hashem has to speak in specifics to bring out all the specifics and all the details and all the individual creatures. So it makes sense to say Vayomer. In the beginning, it doesn't make sense to say Vayomer and he spoke. Okay, very beautiful explanation. The next one is, the second one is, blessed who creates the beginning, creates the beginning. This corresponds to the second utterance. It's actually the first Vayomer. It says explicitly, Hashem said there should be light. When Hashem created light, there was no one here to benefit from the light. Nothing existed to benefit from the light. When there was nothing else here, Hashem said there should be light. We're saying blessed is he because now we can enjoy the light. But blessed is he who made in the beginning. The first thing Hashem made after creating heaven and earth was light. So even though there was no one to benefit from the light at the time, but now we say, blessed is he that he made the light, because now we get to benefit from the light. Then we say, blessed is he who said and he does. This refers to the first time it says in the Torah, in the account of creation, he said and he did. It says Hashem said there should be a separation. It says Hashem said there should be a heaven, and Hashem made vayas alakim v'sadakia. Use the same expression va'oisa, and he made. So this is the first time it says vayas is referring to when Hashem said they should separate the upper waters and the lower waters. The fourth thing he says, blessed is he who decrees and he fulfills. Decrees, as we said, comes from the word to separate. So this refers to the utterance Hashem said that the water should gather, that the lower water should be disconnected from the upper waters, and he sustained it. That's why he sustained it, he kept it that way. That the lower waters are gathered like pools and oceans, rivers, seas, and they remain separate. The fifth, he says, blessed is he who has mercy on the earth. That corresponds to the utterance Hashem said that the earth should sprout vegetation. So Hashem had mercy on the earth. Otherwise, the earth is valueless. The earth has no value. The earth is nothing. Now the earth is so green and colorful and so productive. The earth has tremendous value. Hashem had mercy on the earth. The sixth thing he says, we say, blessed is he who has mercy on the creatures. Because when Hashem said the earth should sprout, Hashem empowered the earth, gave the earth the potential to sprout. But in order for the earth to sprout, Hashem had to say, and this is the sixth utterance, Hashem said that there should be luminaries. It's only because of the power of the sun, the heat and the light of the sun and the moon, that it enables the earth to reach its potential, to yield all its fruit and its potential and its produce. So Hashem had mercy on the Briyas. It's only with the power of the luminaries, with the light and the heat of the sun, that we're able to bring out food that we can live on. The seventh thing is we say, blessed is he who pays a good reward to those who fear him. So this corresponds to the utterance Hashem says on Thursday. Hashem said that the earth should sprout, you should have birds, and the water should give fish, living creatures. So it was through the fish that Yonah the prophet was saved. Yonah said about himself, I fear God. The God of heaven I fear. And also, it was the raven, the bird, that fed Elijah the prophet. Elijah the prophet, it fed him. He was in the desert. He was away from civilization. He had no food. And the raven would bring him every day bread and meat. So you see, Hashem paid the reward, rewarded those who fear him through the creation that he created on Thursday, the creation of fish and birds. And it was the whale who swallowed Yonah that saved his life when he was thrown overboard. Then the eighth thing we say, blessed is he who lives forever and lasts forever, for eternity. So this corresponds to the sixth day. Hashem said that the earth should sprout, should give forth, created the animals. Which of the animals is the most noble of all the animals? Believe it or not, it's the donkey. The donkey merited to be the one to carry Mashiach. The donkey is the one that Avram took with him to the Akedah. The donkey is the one that Moshe took his family with him to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt. And the donkey, says Mashiach, is going to ride on the donkey. What's so special about a donkey? The donkey is an animal that's there to serve. It's there to load, it's there to serve. You don't have to take care of it too much, it's just to feed it. Whatever you feed it, it'll eat. It's a worker. I'm here to serve. I'm here to carry a heavy load. It's completely subjugated to its master, completely nullified to its master. And the donkey, chamor, comes from the word chomer, the earthiness. When Mashiach will come, the earthiness will be completely carry the load of Hashem, and we'll do it with pleasure. That will completely subjugate the chamor, the chomer, and completely subjugate to Hashem, and nothing will give us more pleasure than being able to completely serve Hashem, being completely subjugated to Hashem. And it says that every creature sings a song to Hashem, it's praising Hashem. And what's the song of the donkey? The song of the donkey is, L'cha Hashem agdula v'agvura v'atiferes v'anetzach, eternity. To you, Hashem, is eternity. So that's why when he says Hashem lives for eternity, this corresponds to the utterance Hashem said there should be animals, and the most noble of the animals is the donkey, which is like a combination of a domestic animal, a wild animal. And so that's why he mentions lenetzach, forever. Blessed is Hashem forever, for eternity. And the ninth thing is we say, blessed is he who redeems and saves us. This corresponds to the ninth utterance. Hashem says he created man. And of course, the ultimate man who's created in Hashem's image is Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and their descendants who believe in the unity of Hashem. And therefore, since we are created in the image of Hashem, and we live and we abide by that faith in Hashem and the unity of Hashem, that's why we need constant rescuing. Because if Hashem would not rescue us, we wouldn't be able to survive for a minute. We're like a sheep surrounded by 70 predatory animals, wild wolves, surrounded by 70 wolves. There's no way in the world that this gentle Jew following a conscience could survive in this harsh, coarse, crass, lying, deceiving world surrounded by a bunch of predatory animals. Predatory snakes and scorpions and wild animals and wild predatory birds and, the human equivalent. And that the Jew has survived and outlived all of them. We need constant rescuing. We're so fragile, our existence in this setting, in this world, to carry the torch of Hashem and to carry the torch of truth and to carry the torch of Torah and godliness and holiness and purity. If Hashem wouldn't save us, we couldn't even survive for a moment. So corresponding to the utterance, Hashem said, create man in my image. That's what we say, blessed is he who saves us, constantly saves us, redeems us and saves us from an impossible situation. And then the tenth and final thing, blessed is his name, Baruch Shemoi, according to the previous Rebbe. This is the tenth, Baruch Shemoi, blessed is his name. It doesn't refer to Hashem's commandment to have children. It refers to Hashem said, you should eat from the grass. I've given you grass and vegetation to eat. So therefore, blessed is his name, who gave us all this food. And it's interesting, we say his name, because when it comes to food, everyone blesses Hashem's name. Even the goyim, they say grace. They praise, thank Hashem for the food. They don't take the food for granted. A Jew, we have a blessing. It's the only blessing that we're biblically obligated to say Hashem's name, to praise Hashem, say grace after the meal. You know how many times we mention Hashem's name and the grace after the meal? 19 times we directly mention Hashem's name. Besides all the times that we refer to Hashem without mentioning his name, the merciful one. And we say Hashem's name and the blessing before we eat the meal, but 19 times, that's why we say, blessed is he and blessed is his name. The fact that Hashem gave us food, nourishment, elicits a response that we're blessing Hashem's name, we're blessing Hashem for giving us and providing for us and giving us our sustenance and our nourishment that we need to survive and to live and to thrive and to eat. Okay, so that's the first half of the blessing. Corresponding, the 10 times we say, blessed is he, 10 specific blessings, praises and blessings for the 10 specific utterances, each blessing corresponding to the different utterance. Now we come to the next half of the blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem. And these are 10 reasons why, specifically, why we're grateful. Because each of these 10 utterances brings about a unique reason to be grateful and thankful to Hashem. In order, we say, blessed are you, Hashem Elokeinu. We say Hashem and we say Elokeinu. Hashem, we know, is the name of mercy and compassion. Elokeinu, Elokim, always refers to the name when Hashem acts with justice. Like we find, when Hashem wanted to destroy the world, it says, Vayomer Elokim, Hashem said, let me destroy the world. When Hashem wanted to save the world with Noach, he says, Hashem's name, Vayomer Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Hashem of mercy and compassion. He wanted to have compassion and save the world and save Noach. And here we say, blessed are you, Hashem Elokeinu, together. Because in the beginning, when Hashem created the world, it says, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Because Hashem wanted to create the world with the name Elokim, with justice. That this should be a genuine world. Only when it came practically to actually creating the world, then Hashem said, in the day, B'yoyim Asois Hashem Elokim. Hashem's realized the world cannot sustain. The world will not be sustainable. If Hashem is going to create the world only with justice, then the spiritual rules are just as solid, if not more solid, than the scientific rules, the rules of nature. If you walk off a roof, you're going to jump to a conclusion, literally. That's the law of nature. It's Hashem created the world of nature. Doesn't matter. There's no mercy, there's no compassion. You stick your hand in the socket, you can get electrocuted. There's no mercy, there's no compassion. It's a reality. This is a scientific fact. So it should be just as factual, if not more factual, that when you sin, you're chopping your head off, you're hurting yourself. So the moment you sin, you should be punished immediately. Like we find in the desert, Nadav and Avihu, they did one thing, bam, whack. The Jewish people sinned right away. There was a response because that's the reality. It's not a question of mercy and not mercy. This is the truth. This is reality. In the world of truth, this is what happens. If you cut yourself off, if you put yourself in the finger in the socket, if you jump off a roof, these are the consequences. Punishment is not a punishment. It's a consequence. So if every time a person sinned, you would immediately be punished, you wouldn't have to worry about the world being overpopulated. The world would be a handful of tzaddikim, a handful of righteous people. Look right at the beginning. You know, Cain became a murderer. I mean, the world wouldn't exist. Adam sinned. You only have a hevel. You wouldn't even have anyone. So Hashem had mercy. Hashem says it's not practical. So Hashem had mercy, and he combined mercy with compassion. That Hashem has mercy, like we discussed earlier, we learned that Hashem gives us time, even though we sin, and we're like living on borrowed time. There's no reason we should even be able to live. But Hashem gives us life, he blesses us, and he gives us time. Maybe, hopefully, we'll wake up one day. Hopefully, we'll become wiser. Hopefully, we'll... And he gives us a lot of time, patiently. So it's the mixture of Hashem Elokim. So Hashem's act of creation, the first corresponding to the first utterance, Hashem said there should be heaven and earth, and practically he created heaven and earth. We're grateful and we're thanking Hashem. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. Thank you, Hashem. We're benefiting from the fact that Hashem created the world with a combination of mercy, compassion, and justice. So he gives us time to make our mistakes, even though we make terrible mistakes. But instead of breaking us, instead of shattering us and breaking us, he gives us time, treats us tremendous respect. He doesn't break us. He doesn't want us to be broken. He wants us to fix, to mend, to correct, to change, but not to... So we're grateful for that right off the bat. That's the first thing we're grateful for. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. The next thing is we say, Hakeilo v'rachman, our Father, our merciful Father, Hamahulo b'fe'amai, who is praised with the mouth of the entire nation. This corresponds to the utterance, Hashem said there should be light. Because everyone appreciates light. The miracle of light, the miracle of sight. As it says, a blind person is considered dead. If it's pitch black and there's no light, if he can't see, it doesn't take a genius to be grateful and thankful for the ability to see. And this light is illuminated, I can see. I can see the world, I can see what's going on. So everyone, Befe Amay means the whole entire nation, everyone together praises Hashem for the benefit of light, that Hashem created light, that we're able to see. We have eyes, we can see. Thank Hashem. We're grateful. The next thing we're grateful for, we continue, we say, Meshubach u'mefoyel b'shem chassid v'avada, that Hashem is exalted and glorified by the tongue of his chassidim, his servants, u'b'shiri David avdecha, with the songs of King David. Here he's referring to, this corresponds to the third utterance. When Hashem said, to separate the upper waters from the lower waters. What does water represent? Water represents wisdom. The lower water represents the physical wisdoms. The upper water represents the spiritual wisdom. So just like everyone could appreciate light, it doesn't take a genius, a spiritual, great person to appreciate. Everyone, even the amcha, the simple people, appreciate light and are grateful for light. But there's also a spiritual seeing. Once you learn to have insights, and to see the spiritual greatness and wonders. You look into the heavens and you realize all the wonders and the mysteries, and you start seeing it. You start seeing the mystical wonders and the mysteries of creation through the Torah. And by looking up, as King David burst out in song, the whole Tehillim, he says, the handiworks of your, I see your handiworks in the heavens. And he's praising Hashem for the heavens. The heavens are speaking of your glory. So the insights are much more profound than sight. To have insights, the pleasure that those insights give you, and the way you're able to see this world and to see reality with those spiritual insights, with the heavenly wisdom, the waters above, gives those, but this is not for everyone. This is only the chassidim, his servants, his pious ones, the songs of David HaMelech. By learning Torah, we're able to appreciate the upper waters. Torah comes from heaven. We see different glasses. We're able to have the insights. Hashem opened up our eyes, spiritual eyes, with the eye of the mind. We're able to see deeper realities and able to penetrate into the depth and the mysteries of creation. So we thank Hashem for that. That's the benefit of Hashem separating the upper waters from giving us the gift to access the higher waters. But that's something that the Hasidim, the pious ones, and the servants, and the songs of David HaMelech feel grateful and are thankful. And then we continue. Na'alelcha Hashem Elokeinu b'shvachos of his midos. We will praise you with praise and song. We're going to praise Hashem Elokeinu. This corresponds to when Hashem says to gather the waters together into the oceans, the seas, the rivers. Hashem Elokeinu again is kindness, love, kindness. Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Elokeinu represents toughness. Because the waters, for us, evoke two different emotions. On one hand, the waters represent Hashem's kindness. We have water to drink. We have fish, creatures of the water that we can eat. We can get our sashimi, our sushi, gefilte fish. We can travel with the water. We can go places because of the water. But on the other hand, the water is also mighty and awesome. Waters can flood. Water is powerful. You can drown in the water. So water represents a combination. It represents Hashem's kindness. At the same time, simultaneously represents fierce awesomeness, might of Hashem. The power, any sailor will tell you, the power in the ocean. You see in a storm, the power of the ocean is more fearsome and more awesome than anything you can see on the earth. You see Hashem's power. You know, you become God-fearing. You see the might, the power of the water. A tsunami, God forbid. I mean, you know, water could be devastating. Or water could be life-sustaining simultaneously. So we praise Hashem for the gift of the water, of the ocean, the river, the sea, for that gift. So this utterance, we thank Hashem specifically for that, evokes a response. Then we say, we continue, Negadelcha, we will exalt you, we will laud you, we will glorify you and proclaim you king and mention your name. So that refers to, like we discussed, that refers to the utterance. Hashem said that the earth should vegetate, should give out vegetation, which is food, nourishment. And this is what brings out the praise. This is what causes us to praise Hashem, to laud Hashem, to extol Hashem, to mention His name when you bench. And even Goyim praise Hashem before they eat, thanking God for the food and the nourishment that sustains us. And the miracle of the nourishment that Hashem gives us, all this nourishment. And when a Jew says the grace after the meal, we say 19 times Hashem's name. So we're remembering Hashem's name, etc. Then we continue, that we will crown you as our king, Hashem. So that refers to the six utterances. Hashem created the luminaries, the sun and the moon and the stars. And we look up into the heavens and we see the light of the sun and the light of the moon and the stars. All our wisdom is like nothing in comparison. You know, there's more energy coming down from the sun, I think, in 7 minutes than all the energy that mankind uses in a whole year. You know, it's just the scale. It's such a grand, godly scale that there's light and heat and energy coming from the sun and the light from the stars and then the moon. You know, it humbles us. This causes us, as a result, that we crown Hashem as king. We're completely humbled. We subject ourselves to Hashem because all our wisdom is nothing in comparison to the wisdom. We look at the creation Hashem created us. You look at this world. What a world Hashem created. You know, don't forget, a Jew is appreciative because Hashem doesn't owe us anything. And Hashem created a world for free. He doesn't charge us. I mean, we're here. We exist. And what a world He gave us. This color. The world is not bland. He made it colorful with grass and trees and there's lights and there's sun and there's fireworks, stars. And look at this whole show. And here we are enjoying it, benefiting it from it. He didn't charge us anything. He just gives us a gift. So we're grateful and we're thankful. Baruch Shama, when you look at the world, you look at the 10 utterances, you look at the world that Hashem creates and created and creates. And every detail brings out another aspect, another praise, another reason to be grateful, another reason to be thankful. We don't take anything for granted. That there's food, we take it for granted. That the world is so colorful, we take it for granted. That there's light, that we have this incredible planetarium, the show every night, every day, we have this light coming which is incomprehensible on this grand scale that's beyond our comprehension, especially with what we know today, what we see today. So, of course, we crown Hashem as king. As a result, we're grateful to Hashem and we crown Hashem as king, as my king. And then we continue, Yachid Chei Olam. You are one, the life of all the worlds. That corresponds to the seventh utterance. Hashem said that the world should give forth, the water should give forth the creatures of the water, fish. On the Thursday, Hashem created fish and He created the birds. Because if you think about it, you know, the shape of the bird and the shape of the fish. Okay, the mother can give, could pass on the physical form of the bird or the physical form of the fish. But the life, Thursday Hashem created life, a creature, a living creature, a living bird, a living fish. Life can't be explained scientifically or rationally. Life comes from within. Life, you can't transmit life. When the life dies, when the person dies, that life is, that spark is not there. You can't transmit it. You can't pass it on to, like pouring water to a different cup. That life is gone. In other words, every individual creature, the billions and billions of creatures, every individual creature, Hashem gives a life. Only Hashem who's eternal. Only Hashem could give billions of sparks of life into every bird, into every fish. And simultaneously, every moment, there are billions of creatures that die, and there are billions of, that the life is gone, the spark is gone, and there are billions of creatures who are born. And Hashem is giving in each individual one a spark of life, which only Hashem can give. So this evokes, this utterance, that Hashem said there should be life, and it continues to be life, and birds and fish, and life form, a living creature. This evokes a thank you, a gratitude. Wow, thank you. Yachid Chei Olamim, Hashem is alone. Hashem, only Hashem, who's the true life, the eternal life. He's the only one who can give life. There's nothing scientific or mechanical about life. It's divine, it's godly. And then we go further. Melech, the king, Meshubach HaMafayar. The king who's praised and glorified. Meaning that Hashem took it a step further. This corresponds to the next utterance. On Friday, Hashem created the animal. Animal life is much, Meshubach HaMafayar is much better, is a much higher form of life than birds and fish. Birds and fish are instinctive. But animals have a certain intelligence. The loyalty of a dog has a certain intelligence. There's a wisdom. A dog has a certain wisdom. An animal recognizes its master. The fish doesn't recognize its master, or the bird, the animal recognizes its master. Animals have the wisdom to escape capture. They have enough intelligence. So it's not just an instinctive creature. Animals already have a little higher form of life. There's a little intelligence there. Elephants have incredible memories. You know, the foxes, you know, the animals have a certain intelligence. So Hashem wanted to be a king, and He created even a higher form of creature, which are more alive, a much higher form of life, a better form of life. And we benefit from all that. We benefit from these animals, who are a higher form of life. So we thank Hashem, we're grateful to Hashem for being Melech Meshubach HaMafayar, for being a king, for a higher form of life. And that's why he went the next step, he created a higher form of life. And we're grateful and thankful because we benefit from these creatures who have those intelligence, the devotion of the dog and the intelligence of the animals. So we benefit from it, so we're grateful and thankful. And then we say, Adayad Shmer Gadol, praise and glorifies His name forever and ever. This refers to the ninth utterance, Hashem created man. Man is the one who has the ability to praise Hashem, to eternalize Hashem, by understanding and teaching and communicating and writing and putting it into a book and writing a beautiful poem about Hashem, a beautiful prayer of Hashem. So we can make sure that Hashem is praised forever and ever. You know, what a person writes, the intelligence that we have, Hashem gave us, we have the ability to praise Hashem. And these praises, these prayers were made in the rabbis of the Great Assembly 2,500 years ago. And here we are every day singing, continue to sing Hashem's praises. So we have the ability to make sure that Hashem's praises should be sung forever and ever. So we thank Hashem, we're grateful for having created the creature has the intelligence and the wisdom and the ability to guarantee that Hashem's name should be praised forever and ever, to teach and to make aware and to communicate and to put down in writing, etc. So we have all the benefits from such a creature, all the benefits of man. We enjoy all the benefits of a creature like man. So we're grateful and thankful to Hashem for creating man. And then we conclude, the 10th, the conclusion is, Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech Mehulu Batish Bochis, and blessed are you, Hashem, who's praised by everyone with many praises. Of course, that refers to the 10th utterance. Hashem said that this should be your nourishment, you should eat from the vegetation. So every creature praises Hashem. Every creature praises Hashem for not only creating us, but sustaining us. So we're grateful and thankful. And each specific utterance evokes a unique praise, a unique thank you, a unique sense of gratitude. So first he lists the 10 blessings, the 10 utterances. Then he lists how each utterance evokes a different, unique appreciation and feeling of gratitude. So when you have this as the foundation for your life, this is the opening really of prayers, the opening of Psukei Dezimra, where we're singing Hashem's praises and we're so grateful and so thankful. And you can see why this prayer was handed down from heaven. Every word is so meaningful, every word is so precise. There's nothing like it anywhere in the world. Every, literally, it has 87 words exact. Every word corresponding, so many layers of meaning. We just got a little taste of it. From the Avudraham to the Shalah, Kabbalistically, the 10 Svirot, and here the previous Rebbe takes every Baruch corresponds to a different utterance, and he shows how it corresponds to a different utterance. And then the second half of the blessing, each utterance evokes a unique reason to be grateful, and this is just the simple meaning. You see, even on the simple meaning, it's so pregnant with meaning, it's so rich and so powerful. But if this is a Jew's approach to life, how you look at this world, the world that Hashem created, and Hashem created the world with 10 utterances, and you look at every detail of what Hashem created, and each utterance and each detail aspect brings out another response, a unique response of thankfulness, of gratefulness, then of course you don't live a life of entitlement. You don't live a life of a spoiled brat. You don't live a life of misery and anger and rage. You live a life of genuine gratefulness, humility, happiness, joy, that we're living in Hashem's world. What a blessing it is. Baruch, what a blessing it is to live in Hashem's world. What an honor. What a pleasure. Yes, we're davening and we're complaining about this, that, and the other. We need this and we need that and we need the other. But first and foremost, we're happy and grateful and thankful and appreciative. And there's no issues. You know, we're not depressed and we're not, God forbid, suicidal. And we're not anxious and we're not worried. We're living in Hashem's world, a world Hashem created. 10 utterances. What a beautiful world Hashem created. And we're grateful and thankful. And yes, I have my needs. And that's what we're davening. I'm kvetching about this. And I need this. And I need that. I need parnasa. I need a shidduch. I need shalom bayis. I need health. I need long life. All the things that we need. We need Mashiach. But first and foremost, we're grateful and thankful to Hashem. Baruch, Baruch, Baruch. 10 times Baruch, and 13 times Baruch, and according to some, 15 times Baruch. We can't stop saying Baruch, blessed are you, blessed are you, again and again and again. And that's the foundation. That's the approach. That's the attitude of a Yid. That's why we daven joyfully. You have to daven joyfully. A Jew has to be joyful. Especially now in the month of Adar, the month of joy, a double joy, two Adars. A Jew has to be joyful. Our default position, you know, we were in Russia, the default position there is everyone is grim, everyone is walking with a face, you know. The default position of a Jew is joyful. Baruch, blessed, I'm so blessed, I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful, I'm so happy, I'm so joyful. I'm in Hashem's world. What a colorful world, what a world Hashem gives us and creates. There's food and there's light and there's a sun and there's a moon and there's stars and there's life, the miracle of life. If you focus on it and you appreciate what you're seeing, what's happening, how could you not be grateful and be thankful? You know, we started out in the morning with the Baruch. We thank God for every detail of our life, from the rooster crowing putting on our shoes, to standing up, to opening our eyes. But in the same vein, the Baruch Sha'amar, we thank Hashem for every aspect of creation, every aspect of the world around us. What a miracle, what a gift, how special it is. And we have to feel it and experience it in detail, not just in general. He goes into great detail, every utterance separately, and be grateful and thankful for everything that specific utterance brought into being. And, you know, this is an attitude change. You don't need therapy after you say Baruch Sham. You can be a well-adjusted human being, happy-go-lucky, joyful, positive, full of energy, excitement, to be alive, instead of feeling demoralized, depressed, angry, repressed. Why? Grateful and thankful. So a lot of food for thought. Hopefully you'll say Baruch Shamar now, say it with a whole different meaning. And next time we meet after the holiday, we'll delve into it a little deeper. Mm-hmm.